Mighty pretty song, isn't it, Love of God? And that red hymn book, I tell you, that's a beautiful song. It sure is. Probably the most overwhelming thought that ever entered into man's mind for us to comprehend is probably those three little words. Those three little words. God is love. Or God loves me. Can y'all imagine, as you look at your own life and your own self, and can you imagine that God loves you? It's kind of overwhelming to think. Look at yourself and to think that God loves you. In spite of yourself, God loves you. These verses here tonight is telling us about God's love. Verse 8 and verse 16 in this same chapter says God is love. God is love. You know, John penned this book. He did several other books in the Bible, Revelation, Gospel of John, 1, 2, 3, John. But, you know, by nature, John was really called the son of thunder. The son of thunder. John said one time to Jesus, why don't you just call down fire and just kind of consume them people, those people who want to talk bad about you. Just call down fire and just consume them. You know, John only after he came to know and to experience the love of God and how God revealed his love through Jesus Christ, John became the apostle of love. Because love changed John. He was just overwhelmed by God's love through Jesus Christ. And you and I, you know, if we can grasp that tonight, that you'll go out of here a changed person anytime that we can just grasp that. Verses 17 through 21, talking about, you know, the love of God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not the brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loveth his brother also. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you again just for the blessings of life and each thing, Lord, you give us today that we just took for granted. Father, just the breath we breathe and just be able to get out of bed and the food we received and be able to enjoy this day. Just so many blessings this day that you blessed upon us and Lord, our family, our loved ones, our friend, our church. And this hour, God, as we come down to another close of this day that you've created for us, we come together in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, because of that love, we hear this hour. So we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for the great many blessings of life. And Father, especially for those, Lord, that's less fortunate we are, the ones we have called out on our prayer list, in our prayer box. And Father, ones on our heart this hour, God, that we may not be mentioning out loud, but Father, you know our hearts and Father, you can even hear, Father, without us even speaking. And we just want to thank you, God, for the great love that you have loved us, oh God, so much, oh God. We just want to say thank you, Lord, for this love. It's so great and so merciful. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus, you know, said, this commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That you love. Well, that's a command that we love one another. And you know, you're here tonight because you love one another. This is the evidence when people come to church that you love one another and that you love God. And there's no way out of it. Well, no matter what people think, say, or believe, we love one another. As I think about this, what God has really done for me, have you really thought what God has really done for you in this life, especially just the hour that you live right now, the great blessing that you have? And I like that old song. There's two or three songs come to me while I was putting this together. Not one of them was Brother Orland sung that, that love of God. But also, that old song does, what he's done for me, he'll do for others. What he does for others, he'll do for me. I don't know really the title of that, but that's exactly what, right, what he's done for others. And we know that God's love has been perfected in you and I. He'll do for me. The gift of God's Son and the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it really should bring tears to our eyes to think about the love of God and what he's really done for us. And you just cannot explain why God has been so good. Could you right now, if I was asked you to stand up and explain to me why God has been so good to you, what could you say? How long would it take you? And what could you? How could you really explain in words why God has been so good to you? Why has God been so good to you? Should I ask you this question? Have God been good to every one of us? Has God been good to every one of us? Why have God been so good to us? And another song, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. That's the reason I know it. The love of God is so overwhelming because of what God he's done in the life and individuals of every one of us. As we hit a church and every one of us is different, and God has done a miracle in every one of our lives. And these verses, it showed us why that God loves us so much and why it's so overwhelming, the love of God. But God works each one of us as individual, and I can't look into your life. I don't know what God's done to you, but I know he loved you. Try to explain that. The love of God, that song was so great. You know, if we as a church get this love into our heart, you know, we'd all be a changed person as old John was. Remember, John was a son of thunder. Lord, call down fire and just kind of maypalm them a little bit and burn them up. That'll take care of that stuff, I tell you. But you know, before it was over with, old John was a John of love, the apostle of love. You know why? Because he experienced the love of Jesus Christ. Are you a loving person tonight? If it is, it's because you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ. Now, John gives us several reasons why God loves us and why this love is so overwhelming. One thing, love completes our life. Love completes our life as God put us here on this earth. You know, your life is just not complete until you know what you experience this type of love. A lost person is not complete until they experience the kind of love that we're talking about. And everybody, you know what? Everybody is looking for love. I don't care what they say. Everybody is looking for love. And our hearts were made for love. God made us this way, a heart for love. And I tell you what, everybody wants to be loved. And if we would get that message out to the world, you know, a lot of people don't know that God loves them. There's a lot of people who do not know the love of God, and they do not know that God loves them. Now, they say they know that they're sinners. There's no way that they don't know that they're sinners. And they, who in the world can love me? I've been on drugs. I've been here. I've done that. I've done this. I robbed this, that, and other. Who in the world can love me? They just don't understand that God can love them regardless of what they've done. He loved them before they'd done anything. He loved them because he's God. He loves you. You see, verse 17 again, wherein is our love made perfect? That word perfect, made complete. The love of God makes you complete. Herein is love with us, but God made this completion. And this word there, complete, and herein is love made perfect, it pictures here, I don't know if I can even see or not, this thing makes me go cross-eyed. Anyway, the picture of love of God is like our companionship. Husbands and wife, companionship. I don't know of anything greater, because God established marriage, the institution of marriage, before he established the government upon this earth. That's the oldest institution of mankind is marriage, and God done that. And it also for a man and a wife, regardless of what our society says. There's no alternate lifestyle. It's a man and it's a wife, a woman. And it's a picture there of And it's so great when man and woman can walk together through life and live fairly a long time in life, for man and woman, as they walk through life together, hand in hand. Isn't it great? Isn't it great your wife and your husband can walk the years that you've already walked, and those can remember some of those is done and passed on here with us tonight, but wasn't it great that the years that you walked hand in hand? That word means complete. You know, the Bible says, you know, where two shall be joined together as one, that means marriage. And it's about the same thing as two, you and God. As we're joined together in Jesus Christ, we are one in Christ Jesus. You know what? You're married to Christ Jesus if you're saved. You said, I do, with Christ Jesus. And, you know, sometimes we just mess up, us men especially. Men here, y'all ever messed up in your marriage? You ever messed up with your wife a time or two? I did one or two times, I'll have to admit. I'll tell you one of them. Joyce ain't here. She can't hear what I'm saying. Not y'all tell her either. But I remember one time, not just a few years ago, it was her birthday. And I says, Joyce, what would you like to be again? She said, six. I said, six. So we went on our vacation up towards Atlanta. I said, I'll carry her by Six Flags over Georgia. And I carried her, we're going to let her ride all them rides, a little kiddie ride, you know, and she rode all day. And then I carried her to McDonald's and got her a Happy Meal. And then I carried out to Dairy Queen, got her a cone of ice cream. And then we took in one of those movies, one of those cartoon movies, you know. And we got back to the motel that night. I said, now, Joyce, how did you like being six? She says, dummy, I was talking about my dress size. Sometime I've messed up in the past. Have you husbands ever messed up? Are you laughing at me, Nancy? Sometimes we will mess up, but it is so great to know that you walk hand in hand with husband and wife. And that's what it is with God. It's you know, it's just like our marriage. God is walking hand in hand with us. And really now, you know, husband and wife, we make each other complete. That's the way God intended it. God intended that. And that's what it's talking about here. How God makes us complete as he walks with us in our life. And it's such a wonderful companionship to walk with God. And it's wonderful to know that our mates loves us, but it's also a wonder for our children, our grandchildren, they love us. But you think about God in comparison with our companionship, you know, because it's the longest lasting relationship because it will never end. You see, our relationship with our family end one day in death. You or one of those are going, and that end that relationship. But you'll never end your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a long-lasting relationship. It says eternity. And that makes us complete and to have that relationship. But the first thing you know, love gives us assurance for our future. Love completes gives us complete for our future. Because you see, we have all type of fear that we have in life, but it gives us a completeness and assurance of the future. If we kind of comprehend this love, if we could just comprehend this love, it would help us with our fear in the future, because each one of us has got a future. In verse 17, he says there's a day of judgment. That's a future. You're going to face judgment. But it will give us completeness and also give us assurance. We have this love of God because there's going to be a reckoning day. There's going to be a future accounting day that you're going to give an account, and I'm going to give an account. But this love of God gives us this assurance for our future. It says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's confidence. That boldness means confidence. Boldness in the day of judgment. It means that we can have this confidence. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Don't have to worry about being judged for our sins any longer. Matthew 12:36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. And Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Matthew 25:46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto everlasting life, or life eternity. There is a judgment. And it gives us the love of God. I know God loves me, and that's giving me the assurance that whenever I face Jesus Christ, the love of the Lord is going to be with me. He loves me so much. Today, if you're called into judgment, what would you say to God? What would you say to Jesus if you had to stand before him right now? We know what the Bible says. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. The Bible also says every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. There will be a judgment day. In and if, by ourselves, what conditions could you speak in? You will not be able to say anything on your behalf, in and of your own self. So a lot of times I like to ask people if I'm trying to witness to people, and they say, you know, oh yeah, I'm saved. It's hard to find a lost person. Did y'all know it? It is hard to find a lost person in our area. But there are lost people in our area, but I like to ask them, you know, if you was to die right now, and you was go to stand before God, and I'm saying I'm God, and I'm standing on the throne, and you ask them people this question, and I won't ask you, you stand before me, hey, what right do you have to go into my heaven? And can you imagine, I have heard all types of things. I've been a good person. I've done the best I can. I went to church. I was baptized. I mean, I've heard it all. But you know, none of them things will God accept. None of them things. And more has been added. What would you say to get entrance into God's heaven? Only one thing. In my hand no price I bring. Only to the cross I cling. Just by the mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ, and my, you give me the faith to accept what he done, that I might enter in. He says, come on in, my beloved son. That's the owner's way in. You know, what will you be able to say? What would you be able to say? What right do we have to enter into heaven? And that's where, why this love of God is so overwhelming. It says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. John 5:24 also says, very, verily I say unto you, he that hears my word and believe on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Oh, God loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Romans 5:8 also says, but God commits his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he died for us before I was even born. There's another song, Love Lifted Me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Your life is not complete until you know what you have this testimony. And that song says, love lifted me. You're not saved until you have that testimony in your heart. You're not saved because you're a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, been baptized 3 times. You're not saved until you have this testimony. Love lifted me. Love gives us acceptance in the presence also. Verse 17 again, as he is, so are we in this world. Love identifies us with Jesus Christ. Love identifies us with Jesus Christ. God reaches down in Jesus Christ, you know, and by faith we reach up to him. Accept the love of God, it reveals Jesus Christ when you accept Jesus Christ. You know that, y'all? Y'all reveal Jesus Christ because he lives in you. God sees us through his Son. He don't see you through yourself and through our sinful nature. He sees us through Jesus Christ. God looking at us right now, man, he says, look at the bunch of Jesus in here. That's the way God sees you. Aren't you glad he don't see you in your disbehaving attitude sometimes? Aren't you glad he don't see you in condition that you're really in? But he sees you into the future, what he's going to make out of you. He sees you as little Jesus's. Love identifies with Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. That's the way God accepts you in Jesus Christ. God sees us through his Son, and then the love reveals in the death of Jesus Christ on that cross. He died for us while we was yet sinners. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know what you have tonight? You have something that this world desperately needs. Everywhere we go, we can share the love of Jesus Christ. Because people needs a personal invitation to hear the love of God. A personal invitation to come to church. Church needs to let people know this. You know, as we present Jesus Christ and the love of Christ, people really see that. Maybe, you know what, we ought to have a theme of our church, you know. You know, church is remembered for a lot of things. Y'all know that? There's a lot of churches, some of them named for their fussing and fighting. Some churches named for this, that, and other. Some churches, you know, they can say, man, they got a good music program. Some of them say they got a good preacher. I know y'all ain't going to say that, me and Marshall. But you know what, the greatest thing I can say, you know what, Pleasant Hill? Well, that's a loving church. That's a loving church. No matter what else they say, they could say that about us, and I hope they do. But they could say a lot of things, but it could be, you know what, that we ought to be the church of love. Love, you know, it conquers our fears in verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Well, that word fear, oh boy, I tell you, we all have some fear, don't we? It says four times, fear, fear, fear. Everybody deals with fear. Did y'all know that? You know, fear has been around a long time. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam disobeyed God, where art thou, Adam? I went and hid. Why'd you hide, Adam? I feared thee, Lord. Fear's been around a long time. The fear of God, and I hid myself. They're all kind of feared. And you know, each stage of life that you grow in, there's always a different stage of fear that we all have to face. Did y'all know that? Always some other type of fear. It's built in. You know, a lot of children, they fear darkness. You know, they don't go outside at night. You know, as you grow up, there's always, your fear is always changing. And, you know, as you get older then, you know, there's all type of fear as our senior citizens as we are tonight. You know, when we feel like our warranties run out, there's fear of sickness. And, you know, there's fear of the hospital, terminal disease, fear of death. But the root of all fear is the fear of God. The fear of God. The psalmist says, I remembered God and was troubled. You know, lost people, that's all they do is face fear all the time because they don't know God. The Bible says fear has torment. There's torment, there's fear, especially to the lost because of the punishment and the penalty. They know they're heading to that and try to get away from it. But you know what? We really dread things in life, don't we? The fear, we dread things in life. I know used to when I had some teeth problem whenever I was little. And they didn't have the technology back whenever I was little to go to a dentist. And they'd have to give you a shot right in the front. And I had a needle about that long. And they'd stick it right in my eye. Then they'd take a sander and a grinder. You could hear it for 3 blocks away. Y'all ever had that problem? I got you scared. Y'all got a dentist appointment this week, hadn't you? And they got you. But no, nowadays it's all different. Oh, they put that stuff on your gum and numb it, you know, and they give you that shot. And all. Man, they come a long ways, baby. But boy, I tell you what, they said, dentist, I was scared to death. And shots, go to a doctor, my goodness. And, you know, we used to give those old hogs and cow shots, you know, and they used the same kind on me whenever I go to a doctor. You know, I was scared to death. I had that fear. There's all type of fear always built into us some way or another. But you see, there's fear. And I got to thinking about the fear on death row. And I've read some of the testimonies of people on death row. And, you know, they said the fear of that day dying is worse than dying itself. Yeah, well, it's going to be next week. And you count down the hours and the seconds and the minutes and the fear of death on death row. That's terrible, isn't it? But love conquers our fear because it's perfect love. And Jesus Christ is the perfect love because it casts out these fear. And you know, love is a process of God. Now, he loves us instantly, but also love of God and us understanding is a process that we go through. Love of God came into your heart immediately. And it drives out fear. But you know, it don't eliminate fear all at once. The time you got saved, it didn't do away with all your fear, did it? I still got fear today. Y'all got any fear? I got fear today. I ain't going to tell you about some of them. I went to the doctor today to find out how I'm doing. But anyway, I got fear. And what it does, the fear, it don't drive all of our fear out at once. But, you know, the more of God's love becomes real to me, the more it drives out fear. The more of God's love that comes real to you every day, it grows. It's a process of growing. That's reading the Bible says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of his love. And the more that it grows and the more that you realize the love of God in your life, the more fear it forces out of your life. Because that's what it says, it's perfect love. It's his perfect love and it's perfected in us. Lost knows nothing about this. All they know is about fear of death and hell. And it says, you know, in old Luke chapter 16, 24, about rich man the Lazarus, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flames. That's all they had to look forward to. Oh, would that be a great fear? Could you think about someone dying and going to hell? I think we need to get a good picture of hell. I believe we'd be better witnesses for Jesus Christ. You know, there's really a place called hell. There's really a place called hell. And you know, real people go to that place called hell. And they burn forever and ever in torment. If one little small drop of water would cool a tongue, what do you think about the rest of his body? The thing about people going to hell all around us, maybe some of our family members, and just, you see, the fear of death itself. And for the saved, this perfect love that we have is growing in us all the time. That's the reason it's so important to be at the house of God. But whenever it comes down for the saved and we go to Passover, amazing grace. Thought y'all was going to help me. That's what you're going to really understand. You don't understand amazing grace tonight. You don't understand amazing grace. But you will. I've had fear. I don't know if I'm going to make this or not. They're going to cut me open and go in there, and I don't know if I'm going to live or not. I've had fear. Before they come, give me that shot and roll me a... Brother Marshall, you'll have some fear a little bit. I tell you, you can't help it. What do I have that fear for? If I leave this place, I'm going to be better off. The Bible says I'll be far better. And then you know what God says? I come out on the other side. He says, because you weren't dying yet. That's the reason you had fear. Because when it gets time for me to go, I'm not going to have fear. I'm going to have amazing grace that I've never understood before. The Bible says that grace for every hour. And there's an hour of grace that I have never used before, and you hadn't either, but I guarantee you, you will one day. You will experience that. Amazing grace. Love changes our relationship in verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. You know, the psalmist says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. He first loved us because, you know, love did not start with you and it did not start with me. Mothers, tonight, did you love that child that you was carrying before it was born? Did you love that child that you was carrying before it was born? You did, didn't you? You see, God loved us before we was born. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord have appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Now, there was a time when you started loving your child. But it says everlasting love, it says from horizon to horizon. God's saying, just as far back as your mind can carry you, I loved you. Just as far back as your mind can carry you, I love you. In fact, he is saying to us, there never was a time that I started loving you. There was a time that you started loving your child, but there never was a time that I started loving you. And I told you before about some old-time religion. This old-time religion in Ephesians 1:4, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before the foundation, before this world was ever into existence, before the stars were in space, God said, I loved you. And your mind can't go back no further than that. But when you do, he steps out and says, I love you. You know, this really changed our relationship also to our fellow man. It changed our relationship to God, knew what he loved us so much, but it changed our relationship to our fellow man. Verse 20, if a person says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he have seen, how can he love God which he have not seen? If a man say, I love God. That's a test now to all people to say they're saved. This is a test that John says. You will love your fellow man, it says. You will come and love your fellow man and tell people, I love you. I love you. I love you. I just want to stop for just a moment and tell this church, I thank you for being a loving church. And this is not just for me. Everybody that I've ever talked to, like come and speak here, like Richie Allen, he says it's astounding this church is. The love this church has. The Gideon speaker, he said, I feel the freedom and the sweet spirit that this church has and love. He just said this. And not only that, the same day the cancer unit came and those people that come, they said, man, it feels so nice in here. You can feel the Spirit of God. Had a black couple, I think it was the Wilsons, I'm not sure their last names, one of their loved ones that passed away. They said, boy, it's really nice in here. He said, we'd like to come and fellowship with y'all. Well, I said, well, come on. And one Sunday a month, they don't have church in their church in Patterson somewhere. Because I want to be a part of a church. It don't matter race, place, or face. They can feel welcome. If we ever get where we don't want anyone to come, just certain people, our church would die. Race, place, or face. Oh, 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom have not seen ye love, and whom also now ye see him not, yet believe ye, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory about Jesus Christ. Verse 21 now, this chapter I done read, and this commandment have we from him, that we who love God love his brother also. Loving God includes in loving people. If you love God, you will love people. That's all there are to it. You will love people. And to make people lovable is what God's doing with you. Now, you know, I cannot command you to be lovable, but God does. He commands us to love one another. And if we don't have to be anything else, what this church be known for, could we have, you know, that Pleasant Hill, not a very big church. They can't do a whole lot of everything, but they're a little bit of something. But what they can do is great, and that is they are a loving church. When someone comes through those doors as visitors, and I tell you, we're going to have to really get better in what we're doing with our visitors. We really need to make them feel at home. And we need to follow up, not just me, but on our... And we need some visitors here every time the doors is open. Let me tell you, that depends on all of us. If there are not no visitors here, that means that we have not done our job in sharing our love that God intends for us to share this past week. Because if everybody of our church tells somebody about Jesus Christ or invite somebody to come to church and go as far as you can go, do you know what? God will do the rest. The Holy Spirit of God will work, and He'll work in this church, especially if we'll let them realize that we love them and God loves them and tell them that God loves them. Because they need to be loved. Love makes the world go round, and we need it. And we thank you. It'll be a good thing for our church. That's a lovable church. That's a loving church. Jim, you got anything you want to put on for just a moment while we have a word of prayer? We'll bow our heads for a moment, just a silent prayer. Robert, that's Gene Davis playing that at this time, is it not? We've just been asked to pray for that man that's playing that song on that piano.